Matthew chapter 25, page 1542 in the Bible, in your pew Bible. Make sure that Mason has his Bible. He went back, didn't he? That was too cute. Had to have that book back. Amen. The final part of Matthew chapter 25, which represents our 3-week run through this, and I got to be honest with you, when you look at verses 31 through 46, there's probably more than a sermon in there. And so at some point, I'm sure we'll return back to it. But for the time being, our scripture lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 25, excuse me, verses 31 through 46. Jesus tells about the final judgment and the service of others. While the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. And then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison, or go to visit you?" The King will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these brothers, you did for me." And then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick in prison, and you did not look after me." And they will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" And He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." And they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. May God add His blessings to this passage as we invite Him into our hearts and prepare for the morning message. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, strengthen us now as we prepare to receive your message. Let it pour upon our hearts. Let it be the bread which we eat from today that strengthens us for what we need in the week to come. May we be ever mindful that Jesus spoke these words not just as breath, but as teachings, as learned need. Hear us now as we prepare to receive your message. In Jesus' precious name, amen. It's funny how things work, ain't it? I'm sitting here, got a sermon all written up, all ready to go with a lead off in it. Read the scripture, and suddenly I have to change things a little bit. This book I found in my grandfather's collection, and reading through it, I came upon this poem, which I think is a great lead-in to "How May I Serve You?" Hope you enjoy this poem. Some of you will know it. Some of you may never have heard it. "Before the great cathedral in grandeur rose at Engelberg, where the Danube goes, before its forests of silver spires went airily up to the clouds and fires, before the oak had ready a beam, while yet the arch was stone and dream, yet where the altar was laid, Conrad the cobbler plied his trade. It happened one day at year's white end, two neighbors called on their old-time friend, and while they found the shop so meager and mean, made gay with 100 boughs of green, Conrad was stitching with face of shine, but suddenly stopped as he stitched a twine. 'Oh, friends, good news. At dawn today, as the roosters were scaring the night away, the Lord appeared to me in a dream and said, I am coming, your guest to be. So I have been busy with feet astir, strewing the floor with branches of fir. The wall is washed, the shelf is shined. Over the rafter, the holly is twined. He comes today, and the table is spread with milk and honey and wheaten bread. His friends went home. His face grew still as he watched for shadows across the sill. He lived the moments o'er and o'er when the Lord should enter his lonely door. The knock, the call, the latch pulled up, the lighted face, the offered cup. He would wash the feet where the spikes had been and kiss the hands where the nails went in. And then at last would sit with him and break the bread as the day grew dim. While the cobbler mused there past his pain, a beggar drenched by the driving rain, he called him in from the stony street and gave him shoes for his bruised feet. The beggar went, and then there came a crone. Her face was wrinkles of sorrows grown. Her bundle of sticks had bowed her back, and she was spent with the wrench from the weight of the rack. He gave her his loaf and steadied her load, and she took her way on the weary road. Then came to his door a little child, lost and afraid in the world so wild. In the big dark world, catching it up, he gave it the milk and the waiting cup. Then led it home to its mother's arms, out of the reach of the world's alarms. The day went down in the crimson west, and with it the hope of his blessed guest. And Conrad sighed as the world turned gray. Why is it, Lord? Why did your feet delay? Did you forget that this was the day? Then soft in the silence, a voice he heard. Lift up your heart, for I kept my word. Three times I came to your friendly door. Three times my shadow was on your floor. I was the beggar with bruised feet. I was the woman you gave to eat. I was the child in the homeless street. How often we look and we don't see the opportunity to bring Jesus into the world to someone who does not know. How often we're given that opportunity. It is simply amazing to me that someone would choose in this world, with all the jobs that are out there, that they would decide to become a waiter or a waitress. That amazes me. I am not someone able to serve like that. I don't do well in those kind of situations. I've told you about my 3-month experience at Home Depot. It did not end well. But I am always fascinated watching how a person, this person, cares for the people that come into their charge. They don't know them. Don't know them from scratch most of the time. And in a busy restaurant, I can only imagine the amount of pressure. In a popular place where there's a lot of people, the pressure must be just unbelievable. Again, not built for Paul Leatherman. Paul wouldn't handle that too well. I have watched, and what amazes me is that there are people who view this, watching these people work, as a right that they've been given. I have a right to be served by this person. This person is to serve me. That's my right. And it always amazes me that someone takes that attitude. First of all, you're an idiot if you mouth off to your waitress or waiter. Because they've got to get the food to you. It could drop a lot on the way. Your tea could not be the way you want it. People think, I've watched this in fascination. They go in and they sit down and they expect that they are to be treated like kings and queens. It always amazes me when I sit at a table with people that I know, or I'm sitting next to a table and I hear people being critical of the people that do this very job. I understand sometimes you'll have a bad day and you may not do your job as well as you'd like to. We've all been there. But it's the attitude. They should serve me. I'm just happy somebody's bringing me food. And how many times servers are required to just grin and bear it? I recently sat in a restaurant where a table not too far from me complained endlessly over the woman that was serving them. Same woman that was serving our table, and I found nothing wrong with them. She was doing an outstanding job, but they had that attitude. And they grin and bear it for the most part, no matter what. So when I go to a restaurant and see that they might be under pressure, I usually try to brighten their day and dazzle them with my brilliant sense of humor. What are y'all laughing at me for? It usually doesn't work. I usually get the standard, and they marry on their way. And I turn to look at my wife, who's always doing this. Can't believe I brought him out in public. We are and should be always prepared to serve. There is no right in any sense that we be served. None. Jesus Christ, in this set of parables, and I say set because there's three in there by my estimation, but in these verses, Jesus Christ is saying it very simple. Be prepared to serve. Be prepared to serve. Be prepared that you will not necessarily get what you want from it, but be prepared to serve. So my answer is to you, are you really quite prepared for whenever it calls you? And it will. At the most unusual times. I have often said, you want to have a little fun? Sometime go to a restaurant, make sure it's good and crowded so that you're almost packed in there for everybody, and just without saying anything, lean over to the table next to you and go, hey, did you hear my Jesus? They might get up and move. They might turn like this. Try it. They might turn to you and go, yes, I do. One of the things that always amazes me is every time we go to a restaurant and we pray for our meal, the people that walk up to you and say, that was so wonderful that seeing you pray for that meal. Really? That's unusual to you? My ancestors would come out of the ground. Let me tell you something. Even in the days when I was not as close to Christ as I should have been, even in those days when I was walking a different path, I still mumbled something over the meal. Because I'm telling you, my ancestors would come from all points of the everlasting and beat on me. How amazing it is to hear somebody say, that was nice to see you say grace. I didn't do it for that. I did it because I serve. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Oftentimes, Jesus is talking about it. He says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and He's not kidding around, He's going to be sitting on the throne, and He's going to separate you. They put sheep and goats together, grazing in the same field. But when it comes time to shear, they pull the sheep out. And they take the wool away and leave the goats behind. Jesus is saying that as much in His comparison. Sheep, goats. How may I serve you? When I was thinking about becoming a preacher the first go around in 2003, I thought it was just standing up here and being a ham and running off at the face. And telling funny stories and making everybody laugh and getting congratulations on the way. Yeah, that was a good preacher today, sir. Yeah, blah, blah. I thought that was easy. So I went to my dad and I said, Dad, I'm going to be a preacher. And my dad went, no, you're not. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I said I'm going to be a preacher. He said, no. He said, you've got to learn to fill up before you can pour out. 3 years later, when the fall came and I knew I was going to be a preacher, I told him what happened. And he said, you remember this, boy. And I hate it when he calls me that. He said, you serve them. Not the other way around. You serve them. Your every waking moment should be, am I leading my flock? Am I caring for my flock? Am I doing for my flock? Am I there for my flock? You serve them. And then when you get done them, look around in the world. Then you can become a preacher. Only you're not a preacher anymore, you become a pastor. How may I serve you? I'm the kind of guy that walks into the store and when the man walks up to me and says, can I help you? Because you know most of them don't want you to. They got me. I'll walk in there. I don't care if I know where it's at. I'll walk in there. Can I help? Yes, you can. Come on over here and show me where the screwdrivers are. Sir, you're standing right in front of them. You're good. Recently, we went to the store to get something. And Wendy and the boys got a little bit far ahead of me. And I've told you my brilliant, dazzling humor. For those that are in the service industry, I usually try to use it as much as I can. And they got a little bit ahead of me, and I turned the aisle into Home Depot there, and they were turning the other aisle, being led to where another fellow was taken for what I was looking for, and another fellow was standing in the aisle in his little orange apron, and he looked at me and he goes, sir, can I help you? I said, yeah, I'm trying to catch up to that woman. I'm going to ask her out. He didn't believe me. I said, yeah, I think I am. He figured it out. But how may I serve you? In the story of Conrad, and I'm sure you've heard the version on the radio where they add the music to it, and of course if you're like me, if you're driving when you... Conrad doesn't realize what he has done when he has served. Jesus Christ is saying the same thing. Any time that you have stopped to offer any assistance to anyone, you have just done that for me. For the very least, you stop in the middle of the sidewalk because somebody looks like they're lost. Can I help you? Yes. I'm trying to find this street, okay? Go right down there and turn left. For the least, you could have walked on by. It doesn't have to be the great big grand things where you organize a fundraiser and you set out and you're going to have a big turkey dinner and you're going to feed thousands and thousands of homeless. That's a great endeavor. That's a wonderful endeavor. But Jesus makes it very simple. For the least of these. For the simplest. Then there's the other side. Those who refuse to do so. We often kind of glaze past the service side of salvation. Salvation is given freely. All you have to do is say, what? I believe. Jesus Christ, come into my heart. I'm tired of living this way. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you are the risen Savior. I believe, I believe, I believe. Right? Then we kind of forget the service side of things. As you learn more, though, you are driven desirously to serve Him, to lift Him up, to start talking about that which saved your life and to feel it not as a burden but as a want. I want to talk about it because I don't want any of the idiots that I still know to miss out on their chance to heaven. And I can say that because I was that. My dad tells a story quite often, and I've heard it over and over again, about a man that joined the church, and he was a rough cut piece of iron. He would almost be like your cousin, your nephew Michael. Big, burly, gruff, cut hard, big hands. Kept pestering the preacher, I'd like to do some service work. I'd like to do some service work. And the preacher wouldn't let him do any of the real intricate stuff. And finally, he pressed the preacher one day. The preacher had a list of cards of people he had noticed that had been missing church and was starting to get worried for them. And the man knew about it and said, I'd like to go speak to one of these couples. And the preacher said, no, I don't think so. And they went back and forth to finally the preacher said, all right, we'll give you a try. He wanted to serve that bad. So the man had his card. had the name of a young couple, had an address, made an appointment to go see them, went to the house. Now, I have had to do this from time to time. You go in, you sit down, you exchange pleasantries. How you doing? Been missing you. How's things going? Why, thank you. I would like a glass of iced tea. He sat down after they brought him in and looked him right straight in the face and said, do you want to go to hell? Because if you ain't going to church and trying to stay close to Christ, you're going to hell. Is that where you want to go? How do you answer a question like that? The preacher said next Sunday that couple was in church and got strengthened. Service. Simple, straightforward service is what Jesus is talking about. You go back to it there in the 35th verse. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Simple. Yes, I still say it's a good thing to do, to try to get involved and get big situations done where you can feed the homeless. There's always going to be that need. But it will not denote the fact that one person speaking to one person saying, here, I got these shoes that don't fit. I can't fit me. Here, I know you need work boots. Here you go. Hey, man, I know that you having problems over there with the door on the house. Let me come by and tighten up the hinges on it. Hey, I know that you need a bag of groceries. I know that you need a prayer. Can I pray with you? Can I serve my Jesus that way? He makes it pretty simple. He makes it pretty straightforward. There's a lot more to service than just being in service. There's a way to be a good servant. We have been learning in our Bible study that being in service is not being prideful. All we'd have to do is take a look at Barney Fife. From his book, The Discipline of Service, Richard Foster writes a few things. Self-righteous service comes through human effort. True service comes from a relationship with God deep inside. Self-righteous service is impressed with the big deal. True service finds it almost impossible to distinguish from the small to the large. Self-righteous service requires external rewards. True service contents in hiddenness. Self-righteous service is concerned about results. True service is free of the need to calculate those results. Self-righteous service picks and chooses whom to serve. True service is indiscriminate in its ministry. Everyone. Self-righteous service is affected by moods and whims. True service ministers simply and faithfully because there is a need. If it has to be given to get a reward, it ain't service. If it's given because, and that's it, it's service. There is no need for reward. I get very nervous when people start to give me compliments because I know how big my head can get real quick. I am constantly reminded that it is from Him through me that I'm able to minister. And that's it. It ain't got nothing with the stuff I come up with. Because if I was left to my own devices, every Sunday you guys would hear a sermon about a tractor. Sometimes you do. It has to be given. That accolade that you will get for the service given here is when we step into the glorious presence of Jesus Christ and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Servant in our New English Testament represents the Greek doulos, bond slave, and sometimes it means diakonos, deacon or minister. And this is strictly accurate because they're both synonyms. Both words denote a man that is not at his own disposal. Get that? That's a servant, not at your own disposal. But at his master's purchased property. bought to serve his master's needs, to be at his beck and call every moment. The slave's sole business is to do as he is told. Christian service, therefore, means first and foremost living as a slave in relationship to the Savior we are chained to because of the gift he gave us when he died. Amen. What does that mean? Only the Holy Spirit can create in us the kind of love that will go toward our Savior, that will overflow in imaginative sympathy and practical helpfulness towards his people. How may I serve you? How may I help you? Gifted leaders who are self-centered and loveless are a blight to a church rather than a blessing. That's it. If you've got somebody that thinks that they're doing this for their greater good, then they are destroying things. James Packer was writing that. I've told this story, I know, once in here, and perhaps you've forgotten it, and there are some new faces, so I'll give you a story of service. In the city, on a scaffolding, a man was working at the top, maybe five, maybe six stories up. The scaffolding U-bolts busted, and it started to fall. The man on the top was headed for certain death. But a man working below watched what was going on and saw what was about to happen, knowing that there was only one thing he could do. And so he set himself, timed it, and as the man fell, he caught him. Now, a body falling from that height at that speed becomes destructive. And so consequently, it destroyed the man that caught him. Broke his arms, rendered him worthless from here to the rest of his life. Destroyed his legs. He was unable to walk. Worked on his innards. Destroyed the man that caught him. The man that's life that was saved by that catch devoted himself to serving that man until he left the earth. That's service. How may I serve you? Jesus Christ broke himself for you. We're approaching a pretty serious season. Yeah, it's Thanksgiving. And we know what's going to happen. It's going to be Thanksgiving weekend when all eyes are going to turn to that turkey. Me especially, because I'm cooking it. And we will behold the beauty of the table, and our mouths will water, and we will look toward that feast and that time, but we need to stop and dwell on the service of those that set that meal out. When I was a boy growing up, that was my grandmother and my aunts. And there's a couple in this church, one in particular, who knew my grandmother. And boy, when it was time to feed, she laid into it. Now, the adults were never allowed in the kitchen, except for her daughters. But as grandkids come in there, she'd give us a little treat, a little something, and we'd run in and out of there, and by the time it was time to eat, we were full. Rachel, I think you probably are very similar to that in what I saw at your house. Serving because they want to, not for any other reason. That's what the Christian is. Serving because we are propelled forward. In Matthew 25, we have seen three things now. We've seen first, be prepared, preparations. Be prepared because I am returning, is what Jesus said. Not I might, not someday, I am returning. Two, I've entrusted you with the gift of salvation within your heart to share. Two, second third of Matthew 25. I have entrusted you with this gift. Now third, until I come for you, serve me. Willingly, openly, lovingly. A good model for our daily life of service until Jesus calls is that we would constantly figure out ways to serve our brothers and sisters, so that we would not find ourselves left in the outer darkness. It doesn't have to be big. It just has to be simply done. How may I serve you? Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, lift us up. Give unto us the strength that we need to follow that directive. And remind us that, as Paul stated, we are chained forevermore to the side of Jesus Christ. I am no longer myself, my own person. I am owned by the blood shed for me. We should wake up in the morning saying that. I am fully owned by you, Christ. I am fully owned by your love, Jesus. What would you have me do? How may I serve you? In the week to come, Father, we will be set by burdens. They don't go away. They simply shift from one direction to the other. And let us understand that our brothers and sisters out there also are burdened. And so perhaps the time has come when we should start asking again to those around us, how may I serve you? Let it be in our hearts. Let it be in our thoughts. Let it lift us up and direct us in this week, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. At the height of the Salvation Army, as they were gaining momentum, as they were gaining strength, a person by the name of Brengel, an American, was on his way to become a bishop. He looked across the water and he saw what was going on with Booth and the Salvation Army. And so he left his pastorate, a very profitable one, and went across to England and enlisted in the Salvation Army. And when he came to Booth, Booth rejected him. He said, "You've been your own boss too long. You've been the high hog. You've been out there too long. If you're going to serve here, you're going to serve and learn some humility." And so he put this bishop, highly educated, trained man, to work cleaning the boots of the trainees that came back at night. It broke his heart. Broke his spirit. Here he was the whole time thinking, "I am great in what I know. I am able to do so much more. And here I am cleaning the dirt off the boot of those who walk the street." And he went into his room one night in utter anger and disgust. And he put his Bible open and he began to read those words in John where Jesus girded himself and he came to understand, "I am a servant." And so with great satisfaction and happiness, he settled himself into doing the task until he was called to the next step. How may I serve you? As we sing this last hymn, my service to you is prayer. If you are not strengthened with God, if you are not there yet, if there is something that you need that's laid upon your heart, I ask that you would come forward as we sing the last hymn.
Please stand and turn to page 790.